Father God, we thank you so much for the word and for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you lead, guide, and direct us in the pathway of rightness, Father, of righteousness. I thank you, Lord, that as people adjust our hearts to receive and open their ears to hear, that the Holy Spirit will move unfettered, unhindered, and minister to their minds and illuminate their hearts. I thank you that you anoint me as an oracle of God, that I will speak as the pen of a ready writer, Father. I thank you that these words that I speak are not my words, but they are your words. So I yield myself as a vessel. Think through my mind, speak through my mouth. In Jesus' name we pray it. All in agreement with that prayer say, amen. Amen. Well, welcome this morning to Joy of Faith. We've got a hot message from heaven today for you. God's got a word. I want you to hold on to it. I want you to prepare yourself to receive. The title of today's message is The Blessings of the Willing and the Obedient. If you go in a church and you ask Christians or ask people even on the street, do you want to be blessed? What is everybody going to say? Yeah. You ask somebody, do you want a blessing? Yes, I want a blessing. Everybody wants to be blessed, but these same people, when you look around and ask, is everybody who attends church blessed? Does everybody have a life that you look at and say, man, that sister's so blessed. She got the Holy Ghost flowing from under her toenails. That brother's so blessed. Look at him. Man, I tell you, boy, I can't believe how blessed these folks are. Now, you know that's not true. The average church, you go in there and you ask folks, how they doing? How you doing? Yeah. God good to you? That's not the way blessed folk talk. Now, the Bible says there are blessings that go along with willingness and obedience. So maybe there's a slim possibility all these saints of God sometimes are a little more ain'ts of God than they should be. Ain't a saint. Maybe their imperfection is out ahead of their perfection. So literally, their relationship with God is God asked them to do something, and they say, well, Lord, I'll try. Let me check my schedule. They're not just willing to do it. I want you to go pray for that sister. Well, I don't know. I don't want to embarrass the kingdom of God. I want you to give that brother $50. Well, what do you need $50 for? He got a better job than me. I want you to spend a little time in prayer because I'm laying this person in your heart. Yeah, I got to go to bed and get up. I'll pray tomorrow. God asks us to do things, and sometimes our will is not to match his will. We're not willing. You know what? I'll do it if the Lord makes me do it. None of that is willing, let alone obedient to actually go do it. And a few people will be obedient, but not willing. But the Bible puts a caveat on the blessing is for the willing and obedient, not willing or obedient. And not just willing and not just obedient, but the blessings come upon those who are both willing to do God's will and obedient. So today we want to contrast these together. Willingness versus somebody unwilling, obedience versus somebody disobedient. And the Bible and the specific scripture shows us this. But before we do that, I want to ask you three questions. I want you to think about these questions. Number one is ask yourself, where do I stand with God? Question, do you willingly submit your will to God's will? Think about something this week. Do you remember a time this week where God asked you to do something? Maybe to pray a little longer, maybe to prepare the offering, to give an offering, maybe to go and minister somebody. Maybe you're talking to somebody hurting and God gives you the word and wants you to talk to them. Maybe God wants you to go over to your neighbor and tell them what God laid on your heart for them. Maybe God wants you to do a little more Bible study. You remember sometime this week where God said something, were you willing to do it? The third question, are you obedient following his word in life? You might say, God, I'm willing to do whatever you ask me to do. But then God asks you to do something. You say, but not that. I'm not doing that. Is there anything in your life that you can stop and ask and say, you know what? I really don't want to do that. I'm not willing to do that. And I'm not going to do that. Like you say in Texas, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And we just refuse God. Now, the Bible knew that these things happen. And there's a scripture that we see. It says that there's going to be a blessing. There are blessings and rewards for those who are willing and obedient. God promises the willing and obedient shall receive, one, the crown of life. They shall spend their days in prosperity, two, and their years in pleasure, three, and they'll eat the good of the land. God promises you. I like it. There's over 22,000 promises in the Bible that God made, and the promises have a condition. There's an if, there's a caveat, there's a clause, there's a condition, if. And what people love to do is love to preach, love to quote the result, but they forget about the condition to receive result. So people want to be blessed, but they don't want to be willing and obedient. God, I want you to save me. God, I want you to bless me. God, I want you to reserve a mansion for me in heaven. God, I want you to do that. Now, as far as what I have to do for that, I'm not so concerned about that. I just want these things. I want to have the wonderful job, but I don't want to go apply for a job. I don't want to study. I don't want to prepare myself for a wonderful job. Matter of fact, I want to be a millionaire on a minimum wage work ethic. That's what I want. I want to have the work ethic of a minimum wage employee, but I want a millionaire dreams. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. We can't get the if blessing if we don't do the condition of it. And many people in the body of Christ have been taught in such a way that they disconnect the condition of the blessing and they just hear the pastor say, how many people are blessed? Amen, me. God will bless you. God will make a way for you. Yes, the Lord will. No matter what it is, God's there for you. Jesus has died for you. And it's blessing, the blessing, the blessing, the blessing. And it's not enough if. But the problem is the word of God has the if in it. The preacher may not have the if. Your confession may not have the if. I'm blessed coming in, blessed going out. Blessed. What about the if? Oh, I don't think that much about the if. That's my part to play. I just think about the blessing. But that explains why you see so many Christians in church and you don't see the Mack truck of blessing running them over. You don't see as many healthy bodies and whole minds and whole marriages. You don't see that. It's not that God is slack to perform his word. God's word works fine when you work God's word. But God's word has the if. It has the caveat. It has the condition. But very often God's preachers don't include that or God's saints don't confess that. So therefore they don't do that. I love the word of God. I love it with all my heart and all my soul. It's bread unto me. It's life unto me. But the word of God is not the promise without the condition. The word of God is the promise and the condition. Everybody in this room can manifest every blessing. The healed body, the whole marriage, the healthy mind, the prosperous bank account. They can be blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the storehouse, blessed in the field if they meet the conditions. And God won't let the devil stop you from meeting it if you don't let the devil stop you from meeting it. There's not enough devils in hell or demons on the earth to prevent you from being blessed by God if you decide I'm going to be willing to keep God's word and commandments and I'm going to obey God's will. That's a combination. That's powerful. So let's look here again. We want to receive the crown of life. We want days and prosperity. We want years and pleasure. We want to eat the good of the land. We want all the blessings and more. But there's a condition. So let's look at our text. God knew this was going to happen. So he put this in the word of God over 4,000 years ago. Prophet Isaiah, he had him speak this word. And he says in Isaiah 1 verses 18 through 20, Isaiah 1 verse 18 to 20, reading in the King James, come now and let us reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as the snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, which is white like wool. So God's saying, I know you're not perfect. I know everything's not right, but I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. if you do this, this is what's going to come. I know you're not perfect now. You might hear this message today about the blessings of the willing obedient, and you might say, not as willing as I want to be, not as obedient as I want to be. I hope God still has something for me. God said, look, we know folks got problems. And he said, come to me, let us sit down and be reasonable. Though your sin be as scarlet, you're going to be white as snow because you're going to meet this condition. Though it be red like crimson, you're going to meet this condition and it's going to be white as wool. And then he goes on in verse 19 and says, if, everybody say if. Say it loud.
If.
I don't want you to forget that. Say it one more time.
If
you be willing and obedient. If you be willing and obedient. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Do we want to eat the good of the land? Yeah, we want all the blessings. We want the best of everything. Oh, you can be blessed if you be willing and obedient. You shall eat the good of the land. But if you do what? Refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord have spoken. Now, this was Israel, and Israel was up and down with God. They had an on and off relationship with God. When they obeyed God and did right, boy, they were blessed. I mean, they were blessed. The kingdom of Israel was so blessed. All their enemies were made to make peace with them. They would conquer land. They would win victories. They had wealth. They had health. They had every good thing. They had it when they did what they were supposed to do, when they met the condition of the if. But then there was times when they would refuse and rebel. And the Bible would say, you're a hardened, stiff-necked people. Why have you hardened your heart towards me? They refuse and rebel. Now, notice here, because the crux of today's message has to do with the contrast of willing and obedient versus refuse and rebel. We're going to contrast a willing heart and a willing mind with a heart that refuses. Then we're going to contrast an obedient person with a rebel, a rebellious person. Now, we're going to look first at willing versus refuse. So let's go ahead and scroll up there to the next slide. Willingness versus refusal. Willingness versus refusal. Are we willing to walk in the light of the revelation we have from the Word of God? If we learned something last week or the week before about God, are we willing to implement that in our life and do it? Now, what is willing? Willingness, attitude of the mind and the heart. Willing is not the action. That has to do with obedience. Willing is just, have you in your mind and your heart adjusted to do it? There's an illustration we use about the little girl who the teacher told her to sit down in class. And little girl goes and sits down and says, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. That girl is not willing to sit down. She went and sat down, but her attitude and her heart is, I'm still standing up. Suppose you go to the altar. Oh, God, I love you, Father. Thank you so much for forgiving me, God. Thank you for taking away all my sins. And then you go out, God asks you to do something, and your attitude is, you ain't the boss of me. I'm still in charge. But I'm still going to do what I want to do. That person hadn't done nothing wrong yet, but do they sound like they're willing? I said all that, but I ain't really planning on changing. I'm not willing to obey what you say, Lord. I'm not willing to die to myself that you might live through me. I'm not willing to do that. I like my way. Let's look at the definition of willingness. We know it's an attitude of the mind and the heart. You need to have a willing heart. You have to make up your mind, I will obey God, before you do anything. No action other than the action of making up your mind. When I leave here today, I'm going to obey God. For the rest of my life, I'm going to obey God. You have a willing mind. Then you say, my heart is in it. That means I'm going to keep it. Because whatever I say out of my mouth, believe my heart, that's the only thing that's going to come to pass. And some people can't say out of their mouth, I'm going to obey God. You ask for, I was talking to one brother. We were somewhere in the middle of the week. And I said, I'll see you at church Sunday. He said, God willing. We ain't talking about God's will. How many people heard that before? People holler, like, God willing. Because I told him, I said, brother, I said, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that expresses the will of God. It says, forsake not yourself the assembly of the saints, as is the manner of some. So the Bible says the saints are gathering. You should be with the saints, not in the bed with the ain'ts. So what do you mean, God willing? Don't you know what the will of God is? Do you will to match his will? Do you will to submit to his will? So in other words, if you had already done that, and I say, I'll see you at church, you say, you sure will. With me, God willing. So I don't think that brother was willing to be there. He know what God said. He just wasn't willing to be there. So he just, instead of lying, say something spiritual. The Lord willing. Willingness is an attitude of your mind and your heart. Willingness is things done or accepted by choice or without reluctance. I'm willing to do it. I'm choosing to do it. I don't care what I feel or what I think. I'm choosing to line up with your will. It is a readiness and an eagerness to agree, to demand, request, or wishes. What about Bible? God blesses the hands. God prospers whatever you put your hands to do. And people want to prosper in ministry, but they don't ever want to volunteer. They don't ever want to go out and preach to anybody. They don't want to invite anybody to church. They don't want to do any ministry. And they're not willing to do it. You know, we could use a few more ushers over here. Are you willing to help us out? No, I don't want to do that. Well, we're going out and do some soul winning. You want to go out in the street and pass out some flyers, do some street walking? No, I'm not willing to do that. Well, you know, you want to take up prayer in the Lord and you want to do this and then join the prayer group? No, I'm not willing to do that. It's amazing how many people won't meet any condition to get any blessing. But it's not amazing that they're not blessed. They haven't sown into any blessing because they're not willing and very often not obedient either. But who gets the blessing? The blessing belongs to the willing and the obedient. Who's going to get the crown of life in heaven? Who's going to get to go to heaven? The willing and the obedient. What about those that was willing to come and say some magic words? Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. Are they going to heaven? No, I got the word of God saying not everybody says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus said they won't be there because they didn't do the will of my Father. They didn't obey. They didn't do. So God is awesome. His word is awesome. Every promise is yes and amen. It works, but you got to work it. Faith without corresponding action, faith without works is dead, being alone. We have to walk by faith. If God says be at church, I'm going to be there. If God says pray, I'm going to pray. If God says study, meditate, and read the word, I'm going to pray, study, meditate. I'm going to be willing to do it, and I'm going to be obedient to do it. If I have to drag my ungodly flesh, which is on set on fire by the pit of hell, if the spirit has to reach down and drag the flesh, I'm going to do it. My will is to do the will of him that sent me. I adjust my will to his will because I may or may not will to do something, but I do will to match my will with his. Because you can, let's say we'll talk about Jesus going to the cross in a minute. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross, but Jesus went to the cross. Well, why did he do what he didn't want to do? Because he did will to submit to the Father's will. He just didn't want to go to the cross. I would say, if there's another way, I'm out. There's another way, I'm out. But nevertheless, not my will not to go to the cross, but I'm taking my will. I'm adjusting my will to your will, Father, and your will be done. Because one thing Jesus did will without question is he willed to obey the Father's wishes. And he didn't waver or question that. Although he did not want to go to the cross, and he asked God, is there another way? When God answered him not, Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will not to go to the cross, but your will for me to go. He willed to submit his will to the will of the Father. Jesus was ever ready and eager to agree to the demands, the requests, and the wishes of his Father. Jesus, we're Christian, we're Christ-like if we be like Christ. If again, we are Christians if we're like Christ. We're Christians if we're saints. We're not Christians if we're ain'ts. We're not Christian because of what we say with our mouth. that we did not back up with belief in our heart. Many say with their mouth, Lord, Lord, but they shall not enter the kingdom of God. But nobody who makes Jesus Lord with their mouth and makes Jesus Lord with their life, their actions, their willingness, their obedience, nobody who does that is going to miss heaven. We're all going to heaven if we're willing and obedient to follow his word and keep his commandments and his statutes. That's the condition. Salvation is not the confession you make if you lied. You came to the altar. I was saved in the Baptist church in 1978. Finally got enough courage to come down the aisle. You had to walk the aisle then. The old school, you got to walk the aisle. You remember Lynn? You got to walk the aisle. And you got to, you remember too, you got to walk the aisle. Ain't no getting saved in your seat. You got to get up and go down from the whole church and come up there and repent. And you got to walk the aisle. And I came down there finally after sitting there weeks wanting to come up and not coming up because I made the decision in Sunday school that summer at my grandmother's church in Alabama. My grandma told my mother, so my mother was kind of looking at me when we went back to our church. Hey, it took a lot of courage to go up the first time. Brother wasn't ready to go right back up. So I stayed. People know me at this church. It ain't the Sunday school. They know me. So I just stayed in my seat. It took about 3 or 4 weeks. And one week, like the next week, I think it was, I finally went up there, humbled myself before God and came forward, gave my life to the Lord. I was willing to get saved, but I wasn't really willing in other weeks to walk down that aisle. I eventually got willing to do whatever, but I had to get some more teaching, had to hear some little more preaching, had to feel the flames of hell and see the joy of heaven before I got up out the chair a second time and came down and gave my life to the Lord. I was willing and I finally obeyed. I was ready. I was eager. I was ready to go. I did not continue to refuse the Lord. Let's say, for example, we have an altar call to end the service day, which we have. Some of you know you're in sin. You know you got outstanding sin. You know you need to repent. Some of you don't know the Lord, but you want to get saved. But you will have an opportunity to be willing. You can adjust your mind right now. I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do. You can adjust your mind to be ready to obey, or you can refuse and not be willing. Because the contrast in scripture back in Isaiah in our text was between willingness and refusal. Now look at this. Here's refusal. Act of unwillingness. Rejection or obstruction. So God wants me to go and witness to somebody because God wants to bless them. God wants me to bless this sister with $50. And you know what I'm going to do? I ain't willing to do that. I'm going to refuse. I'm going to obstruct him trying to bless her. She's been believing for financial need. God wants to use me. I ain't willing to do that. I'm going to obstruct God. You start to find these words and stuff get real, doesn't it? No, I just didn't feel led. No, I don't feel led. I refused. I was disobedient. I hardened my heart to what God said. See, watch these euphemisms. You disobeyed. I wasn't willing. Right now, if God told me to give somebody $100, before he say anything like that, am I willing? Yes, I am. If I know the Spirit of God told me to give somebody $100 and I have it, I will give it to him. I don't care. I've given people more than $100 before. I would give it to him. $20, $30. If I'm driving home and God said, give that homeless person everything in your wallet, I've done it before because I was planning on just giving them a few bucks. And as soon as I pulled over and opened my wallet, God said, give them all. I had like $60, $70 in there. You know, my mom was like, what you need 60? You homeless. You ain't got no rent. I got rent to pay. You out here begging for food. I got food I got to pay for to put in the grocery store. But he said that, and I paused for a minute. I was thinking, get thee behind me, Satan, and stop pushing me. It ain't God. So that's all the money got in my wallet. But no, it didn't matter. I heard it. I knew it was God, and I was willing. I was willing before that happened, but I didn't know until it was put to the test. I was willing to be. Now, God blessed me far more than that time and time again, because you can't outgive God. But God, if he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. Folks believe in God to be blessed and they don't even give an offering. Well, how are you going to multiply? God multiplies what you sow. If you sow zero, multiply it as much as you want. It's still nothing. Okay. You got to, like, or Robert's call it seed faith. When I got a need, I'm definitely going to sow a seed. Helen, we believe for a house. We need $20,000 down in this house. We need to sow extra. Can't just give our tithe all. We got to sow extra. And we start sowing extra. When the church was needing to get a building, and it was supposed to be $50,000, $49,000, then people got to doing it, and the guy had messed up the numbers. It was $160,000. We had about $75,000 at the time when we built out that Forest Hill Church. And I was at a meeting in Tulsa. We're in a meeting and they were raising money for something. And God said, put in $10,000. I was back to Satan, get thee behind me again. Because I'm like, how do you give money away and pay for something? You trying to save money. You ain't supposed to be. That doesn't make sense. See, when I believe God, I believe for it to come in. Okay. Not believe it to be given it. Believe for it to come in. And I heard clear as day, and I knew it was God, but I didn't want to know it was God. You know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. You pretend like it ain't God. You're like, well, I just want to make sure. I don't want to do nothing wrong and foolish. You know it's God every time you do that. But it still feel like it ain't God because you really don't want to do it. Not willing to do it. And I didn't give it. I heard it. I didn't give it. I went back to the hotel that night. And as soon as I get back to the hotel, Laura's like, why'd you disobey me? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What? What? Where? Who? When? But I'm back in the thing. We had a wonderful meeting. I'm quiet. I'm hearing the spirit. I'm not thinking about the church or nothing because I'm in a meeting. I'm in a spiritual meeting. It gets quiet in your spirit and you're hearing God. And God said, how can I bless you if you won't sow? And I said, I'll give it tomorrow. I went and wrote the check there. I put $10,000 in there. And I was believing. I said, God, I believe you for return on that. We had somebody, I came back. And the first Sunday I came back, somebody put in $33,000 in our offering. We ain't never had nobody put $33 in our offering. Any of you all do that? No. Somebody wasn't hearing from God. But somebody did hear. I wish that happened more, but it doesn't. But you think that blessed us? I said, oh, God, you're doing it. Took 10 and flipped it to 33 just like that. 2 days later, I just showed up on the first Sunday. And I'm just like, because I gave it, forgot about it. I was willing to do it. Once I did it, adjusted my heart was in it. I sold the seed. It's gone. I ain't really, oh, what are we going to do? That was dumb. Once I gave it, I was willing. I sold it. And the very same week I came back, somebody put in $33,000. But you know what? God's just saying, you can't outgive me. Can't outgive me. You believe in to get a need met, sow a seed. But if we're not willing, because God wants to multiply what you sow, but folks get tight and don't want to sow nothing. So then they don't get multiplied and they think the word doesn't work. But the thing is, you aren't willing to say, all that I have is yours, Lord. God says, look, I got 5,000 people to feed. Let me get that loaf of bread and a few little pieces of fish. My fish. My mama gave me this fish. I ain't sharing that with nobody. Not even you, God. Let them folks go hungry. These are my fish. I'm sure that little boy had to be willing to put his fish on the table to take back baskets and baskets full of fish. Because God multiplies what you do. And you know what happened? Those 5,000 people got blessed. You know what happened? That boy got blessed. You know what happened when we gave as a church? We got blessed. And money kept coming in, and we had the whole $160,000 in time to get the whole project built out. That was a miracle of God, but we got blessed. We ate the good of the land. We prospered because as a congregation, as the head of this congregation, we were willing and obedient. But God was faithful. Just like he always is. If we meet the condition. Refusal, an act of unwillingness, rejection, obstruction. Obstructing the blessing of God. Rejecting God's word. Rejecting his guidance. I'm just not willing to do it. My will is not to do your will. Refusal is also an act of throwing away. Or rejecting as worthless. Suppose I look at the word of God. The word of God says, don't forsake the assembly of saints. Well, you know, that ain't really for me. That's for the mother saints. Because I come most of the time. That ain't for me. Forsake not the assembly of saints as is the manner of some. Why do you think God wants people coming to church? Two reasons. He wants to bless them because of their willingness and obedience, and he wants to use them to bless somebody else. But people don't look at it like that. They sitting at home, bless me, Lord, meet my needs. God, I love you. God said, you don't even obey me. You're not willing to obey me. You're not obedient. You look at the word and you just reject it as worthless. Are you going to learn something today and reject it as worthless? Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, that witness with my spirit. Yeah, I should do that. You're going to do it? I don't think so. And of course, we never articulate that, do we? We just don't do it. Anybody in here, don't all raise your hands at the same time, have heard a word and didn't do it. I've heard, I would like to say that every time God spoke to me, I've done it because I'm just that righteous and holy. But that'd be lying. God has spoken some words to me again and again, and I just wasn't willing to obey. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's I'm lacking the faith that God's that's really going to work out. And before I started obeying God in many areas, I guarantee you I disobeyed him and more. I just wasn't willing to do it. We go from faith to faith, from grace to grace. The things that tempted me before, they aren't even temptation anymore. If I go out of here, drive down the street, and God said, get a person some money, if I got it, I'm going to give it to him. Ain't no problem, because I already know God's going to bless me. You can't outgive God. I'll give it to the person and then say, I start looking for the blessing. Because I'm so deceived. Go get, baby, you better go get the tractor ready. We're about to get a harvest in here. God had us get that big seed in the church. Get the tractor ready. Crank it up. Heat up the oven. Get it ready. We about to fish and catch a boatload. I just go straight to expecting. There's no issue of whether I believe. There's faith in that. But those other areas, that level of faith I'm not at yet, where I'm still growing, I count myself not to attain. I got to push into willingness because I want the condition of the if. And God's saying, I bless you at this, I bless you at that. Now I want to bless you big. Oh, I got to sow big. I got to give big. I got to believe big. I got to be willing to do the big thing. Maybe God would do us like he did Pastor Butler. Pastor Butler, my pastor in Detroit, Pastor Keith Butler. Pastor Butler was praying for a bigger building because the church was just blowing up. God told him to go to another pastor and tell him to give his building, his property to him. Nobody told him the pastor trying to get rid of campus or sell it. He just said he heard in the spirit that that's to be Word of Faith's new church home. And he said he went in there, he set an appointment with the pastor. Hey, how you doing? He didn't know him. How you doing? Yeah, so far. And of course, you like, you know, when the Spirit of God's on, you're about to do stuff like that. You like really like, oh my gosh, I'm about to embarrass the heck out of myself. Or God's about to do something great. I hope I'm not wrong with this. I don't know, but the Spirit is unctioning and prompting me to do it. But Pastor Butler went. That's what you understand when the Bible, they say with fear and trembling. Because you know, like, if this is wrong, I'm about to be the biggest fool in town. He's going to be preaching next week saying, you know, this crazy pastor can come over here trying to get our building. All that can happen. The Satan to show you all that. But Pastor Butler was willing. And he went, and I heard him tell the story, and I could hear in his voice what it felt like. I've been in situations like that. Not that one, but like that, where it's stretching your faith. It's stretching your faith. You don't know if you can go that far. But God's asking you, will you obey? Are you willing? He obviously was willing to go over there to the man because he did it. And he said, he talked to the guy and he said, the guy paused and looked at him. Then he said, you know, the Lord was laying some things in my heart about what we're going to do with this building because a new piece of land we bought and the Lord told us it's time that we. And then he said, it witnesses with my spirit that we're to provide just the Word of Faith. And Word of Faith got the building. Beautiful building, beautiful campus. Now, I remember I lived at 9 Mile Southfield Expressway. And a mile from there on Evergreen and 9 Mile was Duns Scotus, a monastery from the 1920s. Majestic. It was immaculate. It was royal. It was regal. It was built of stone. The place was built like a castle. And Pastor Butler said God told him about that property. Now, they went over there And Word of Faith had about 20 million, he said, 22 million to spend on it. But the people got an offer of 32 million from developers. So he said, God wants us to have this property, talk to the people. And the people are like, but you're $10 million different from the next offer. And we got an offer. And Pastor Butler said, but God laid on heart to have it. And they said, well, let me talk to some people. They talked to some people. They prayed about it. And they called him back. And they told him, the guy told him, God told us to sell it to you for that price that you offered. And they took a $10 million loss just to give favor to the church. You have to be willing to go offer something that low. Any of you ever look at a house you want and it looks like your dream house? They want $300,000, $400,000, and you go in there and say, I give you $200,000. Anybody, even if you get that, are you willing to do that? There's a high probability of embarrassment. Most of us aren't even willing to do that. I can't go offer nobody that much belief their asking price. I'm asking them to give up $10 million, but give up $10 million of money that would go in your pocket just for me. That's the part where the unwillingness comes in, because God be asking crazy stuff. God be asking miraculous stuff. Things that just don't happen. That's why you got to be willing. It does not make sense. Who are you? But you asking, who am I? But God told you to go do it. And the question is, are you willing to go sit in the pastor's office and say, your land's supposed to be ours? This property, which is a separate property, they moved in after the other one. After they had been over there about 7-8 years, they moved to that other one because they kept going up. Just amazing. But, you know, Word of Faith would not have gotten that building if they weren't willing to obey God's word to get in a position to receive God's blessing. Because, see, when you're dealing with a supernatural, all-powerful, almighty God, where nothing's impossible for him, you have to realize you can't limit him by what's impossible for you. It's impossible for me to think somebody's going to give up $10 million when they don't know me. It's impossible for me to think somebody's going to think I'm anything other than crazy coming in an office saying your property is supposed to be mine. It's impossible for me. But things that are impossible for man are possible with God. And if we have the faith, the willingness is not so hard. But when we lack the faith, the willingness is difficult. I see you being a doctor, a lawyer, a butcher, baker, whatever, making millions of dollars, whatever. I see you going to college, graduating with honors. But if you don't see it, then you just got to be willing to obey God's leading. If you saw it, you probably would be doing it. But God sees us. What he sees for us is far greater than we can see for ourselves. And it takes us faith to do it. And the only way we're going to do the faith is to be willing to do it. Are we willing to do whatever God? Joy Faith Christian Center will have 5,000 plus, maybe as many as 15,000 people. Are we willing to invite people? Are we willing to believe it can happen? Or are you going to refuse God and fuse what Pastor's saying is, I don't see that's going to happen. We just are even just as many people now. That ain't ever going to happen. Are you going to say, I'm willing. What does it take? Let's do it. Let's make it happen. Are you willing? I told you the times could come where people are going to walk in here and the anointing is going to be so great in this church that the building is going to shake. I had that from word from Lord ever since the 80s before we even had a church or before I went to the first Bible school. The building is going to shake. Just the power of God is going to be so great. There's going to be another time where people are going to walk in and anointing, healing anointing is going to be so strong. They're going to walk in the building. Ain't anybody going to pray for them? Anybody going to hands them? They're just going to get healed. Just walking into the presence of God that's going to be here with our congregation in one place, in one accord, in one place, believing God. Because you can't have God's people come together in one place, in one accord, all there, believing the same thing, moving in faith, and not have manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We're just waiting to get everybody on the same sheet of music now. Everybody on time. Everybody prayed up. Everybody believing God to move for it to manifest here. Are we willing to do our part for that to manifest? Are we willing to do our part to have enough people in here, enough finances here to stop renting these buildings and to go buy a whole campus? To build it out absolutely beautiful. Top notch everything. Because God likes it. Like, you saw his plans for the temple. That wasn't no budget basement discount temple. God likes it nice because he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Money's not a problem for God if we can believe for it. If we can sow for it. I see it. I see every seed theory. You see, there's quite a few people here today compared to last week. Had a good number of people the week before. And we still got quite a few families out that were here 2 weeks ago. But it's going to be so full. God's already said you're going to get another building. You're going to go to double service. You're going, real soon, you're going to do something. Because you guys are out inviting people. You guys are praying. You guys believe it. And you guys are catching the vision. And number one, you guys are willing to be the big church. Willing to be the lighthouse church. We're Pentecostal. We're going to push more on the Holy Spirit till signs and wonders are falling out the ceiling. Everybody's going to be filled and full of the Holy Ghost. And we're going to bring people in and fill them. And we're going to receive a power to witness like never before. We're going to be like Jesus told her when he came back and appeared to them. Oh my gosh, you're alive. I thought the ladies were just crazy saying they saw you. I thought somebody stole the body. But there you are, Jesus, you're alive. He said, I want you to go out and you'll be witnesses. And they're ready to go. They're willing to go. Jesus, hold up now. First of all, I need you to wait 50 days until the Holy Ghost has come. Then you'll receive power because you're going to need to go out in power. So they went and they tarried for 50 days. And on the 50th day, the sound of a mighty rushing wind came in. And the Holy Spirit came in as cloven tongues rested on them with a mighty rushing sound. And they were all filled and they went out speaking in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Jesus, until he was filled with the Spirit at his baptism, he did no wonders, no miracles, no signs. 30 years, no miracles, no signs. He was Jesus. He was the Son of God all that time, but no signs, no wonders, no miracles. But then at his baptism, God sent down the Holy Spirit as a dove and it lighted upon Jesus. He said, this is my Son, I'm well pleased. And straightway, Jesus came out the water, went to Capernaum and performed his first miracle and didn't stop performing. Been performing miracles, signs and wonders ever since. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon him. That's the call for every Pentecostal believer in the church. That's not just Jesus. That's not just Paul. That's me and you if we are believers. And you need to say that like I said on myself. God has anointed me with the Holy Ghost and power to go about doing good, to heal and to save and to do everything. All those oppressed of the devil. God has anointed me with the Holy Ghost and power. And you begin to confess it till you believe it. Because once you get to the point where you can say it out of your mouth and you actually believe that what you say come to pass, you can say it out of your mouth and you actually believe it in your heart, you're going to be a different person. And Satan is so afraid you're going to wake up to that reality. I've always said for years on opportunities when I close the service, keep the devil on the run. He's afraid of you. He's afraid you're going to find out who you really are. And all of that's on the other side of willingness. Your greatest blessings in God are on the other side of your fear. Afraid to step out. Afraid to obey. Afraid to believe. Afraid to speak boldly out of your mouth those things that God has birthed in your heart so you can create it with your tongue. Afraid to say that. Who are you to say that? Who are you? You're the weakest son. Oh, God's called me to be the king of Israel. Not you, him maybe. Your brother's big and strong. Your other brother's in the army. Not you. Who are you? If you would dare. God is not looking for the swift and the strong. He's looking for the willing and the obedient. Do you qualify? If you're willing and obedient, you qualify to do great things in this earth. Signs and wonders. These signs shall follow people who really believe. They will lay hands on sick and recover. They will cast out demons and devils. They will raise the dead. I don't see them signs in many folks. I know a few people have signs like that. I've had some manifestations of healings and different things here and there, but I don't see those signs following everywhere we go. And most believers don't have any of them. I wonder if most people believe that God is not just up in heaven, but when they get born again, God is inside of them. I wonder if most people believe that when they lay their hands on people, it's the power of God flowing through them. I wonder if most people believe that. And most of us don't, but that's no problem. We just have to build our faith. And how does faith come? By hearing. By hearing what? The Word of God. But suppose we ain't even willing to obey the Word of God. You got a problem. Some folks aren't even willing to hear the Word every week. They come every third week, every other week, every fifth week. Because what do? They reject God's direction. They just reject it as, I don't need to come every week. I talked to some people. I said, oh, you missed church last week, brother. What happened to your sister so far? Well, you know, you ain't got to come every week. You don't have to do anything. You cannot go beyond your faith. But as long as your will and your level of faith and understanding of the Christian walk is tainted, it's skewed, it's reduced, it's diminished, you'll never be great. The only thing stopping you from being great is knowing that you are great. Suppose you're the person who, you know, you got a relative in California died and left you $2 million. The paperwork is all there. Now, you are a millionaire. Until you find out that you have $1 million in your name, till you open up the book and figure out who you are, this is the last will and testament of our benefactor, Jesus Christ. And this tells me who I am, what I have, what I can do. But if I don't open the will and read it, if I don't get my aunt or uncle's will, I don't know I'm entitled to $2 million. So I can live like a pauper. Be like the man who came over to America or late 1800s and people are coming in. And this one guy, he saved up money because he didn't have much over in Europe. And he said, looks like a 30-day journey across from Europe over to America. So I'm going to just have these sardines and these crackers and water. And, you know, he's on the boat. He's struggling. He's going to do things so save his money so he can get a good piece of land, bring his family over, get a crop in. So he's really budgeting. He's really doing it. And he got his ticket and he's on a boat. And he said, you know, he had been on a boat for like 3 weeks. Every day he got to smell that food coming from the galley. And he eating sardines, crackers, and water. He said he got so bored that instead of having sardines, crackers, and water, the next day he had water, crackers, and sardines. Then the next day he had crackers, sardines, and water. He said they're just about to come on shore another day or so. And he said he went up to the purser and he said, Mr. Purser, you know, I'm trying to save my money and all, but I've been on here 29 days and you know, I'm tired of these sardines, cracker, water, sardines. I'm tired of all that. He said, how much would it cost me to get one of them good meals they serve in the galley? And he said, well, let me see your ticket. He looked at his ticket. He said, sir, this ticket entitled you to every meal that was served. It does? He said, yeah, but they already served now, so you can have one for today, but what was wrong with that man? He lived 29 days on sardines, cracker, and water, cracker, sardine, and he had paid for a ticket that included every meal that was served. What was the only problem? He didn't read the ticket. He didn't know or believe that they were cooking for him. He didn't know that. Didn't have any ideal of it. What about you? The Bible's full of promises to you. The Bible's full of God's word to you. It doesn't benefit you if you don't know it. If you're not willing to go to church regular to hear it. You're hearing something today that's building your faith. But you know what? I taught some last week that would have built your faith. Were you willing to come last week? Are you willing to come next week? Are you willing to come every week? Or are you going to say, well, God willing, Pastor? We talked about that before. It ain't about what God's willing. It's about, are you willing to match your will with his will? You want to be blessed? There's a cost to it. We have to be willing, not refusing. We have to be accepting of his will, not rejecting of his will. We have to get out of our own way. Are you your own worst enemy? Are you the only one standing in your way from God's blessing in your life? Yes, we are. There's nobody else. The devil can't stop us from being blessed by God. Without our cooperation, no devil or demon is powerful enough to prevent us from being blessed by God. Only we can prevent us from being blessed. Only you can prevent that. It's got nothing to do with the devil. If you decide you're not putting up with anymore, just put your foot down and say, enough is enough. It stops here. From today on, I am willing to do whatever God wants me. If I see it in the word, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be willing. I'm going to obey it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. If you get to that point, God's going to say something to you because he wants to bless you. Are you going to obey? Are you willing to do what God lays on your heart to do? No matter what it is. If not, forget about being blessed, because the if of the blessing is if you're willing and obedient, then and only then shall you eat the good of the land. I'm going to leave you with that question. We'll pick back up again next week and do the other part. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for the word today, and we thank you so much, God, for your goodness to us.